Ramsey TV.
Our fellow believer, John Heth, is on a holy tear. Ladies and gentlemen, on a holy tear, accomplishing day by day more audiobooks, taking all my books, reading them, because he's a professional voice guy, and one by one, he's ticking them off. So right now, available for you, for download, are audiobooks read by John Heth of First Idiot in Heaven, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, and The Really Bad Thing About Free Will. To purchase these, yeah, you have to purchase them, sorry. But to purchase them, go to Amazon.com and then type in Martin Zender Audiobooks, and you will see what is available. Upcoming, Beyond Politics, Divine Principles of Sexual Attraction, Eve Raised, and one other one. Can't remember which one it is. But anyway, I thank God for John. And he's going to be, he and his wife, Jeannie, are going to be at Omaha. Well, maybe not Jeannie. That's true. Maybe, I think just John's gone, perhaps. But she is his muse, his inspiration. Wonderful couple. I met them in Richmond, Virginia. But come to the conference in Omaha, Nebraska next month, September 16th. All the information on my homepage, martinzender.com. John Heth is going to be there. He's going to give a personal testimony. He's going to talk about this work, which is fantastic. He's reading all my books. So that'll be convenient for many people. Now, I'm going to tell you an obvious thing about the Apostle Paul, but then I'm going to make a point that I've never made before based on this text that just, you know, reached out of the page and slapped me in the face one day not long ago concerning the law and really confidence in the flesh. So I'm in Philippians. I was just there, I know, a couple weeks ago, but I see something new here, a new little wrinkle. In chapter 3, verse 2, I love this guy, Paul. Listen to him. Tells the Philippians, beware of curs, dogs. Beware of evil workers. Now wait until you see who he considers to be evil workers. This is great. Beware of curs, dog people. Beware of dog people. Beware of evil workers. In other words, beware of the maimcision. He's talking about the circumcision. So here's another slam. Three slams in one breath here. He's talking about the circumcisionists who were constantly hounding Paul, trying to bring Paul's converts under the law, telling them, well, of course, yes, you started okay with Christ, but you have to perfect yourself with works, perfect yourself with law. As many people say today, false teachers, you have to constantly be cleansing yourself. What do they call it? A holiness thing? Becoming holy, holiness, perfection. I don't know. The holiness movement, which is what Paul's fighting here. The holiness movement. It's like the second blessing, the third blessing, the fourth blessing, becoming more holy, more pure. It's just, it's a major distraction at best. It's satanic at worst. I mean, I think it is. It's this old thing coming back again, this constant need of people to contribute to their salvation and to perfect themselves via works, including works of the law. That's right. Paul here will have none of it. Beware of doggies, dog people. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the maimcision. Makes up a term for the circumcision, an insulting term, maimcision. In other words, all they're doing is, these people who think that it's currently an advantage to cut the end of your favorite reproduction organ off, he's now calling them the maimcision, a satirical cutting nomination here. The maimcision, all they're doing is maiming themselves, Paul said. There's no spiritual value, so it's just an injury to the flesh that requires a bandage and a couple days of bed rest and Tylenol. Beware of the maimcision, for we are the circumcision. It's a metaphor. They're not literally the circumcision because he's saying this concerning women too. We in the body of Christ, hey ladies, you're the circumcision. What? It's a metaphor. That should help you realize it, that Paul's talking to men and women. We are the circumcision. That is, the truth, what the circumcision was supposed to be for Israel, we are truly doing. That is, no confidence in flesh. Circumcision was about the flesh. It was about reminding them that their reproductive prowess had nothing to do with their personal power, but had to do with the power of God operating in them. To remind them that, you know, cut the end of that reproduction organ off. That'll teach you, every time you look down, you'll go, oh, no, I'm so embarrassed. But no, no, the Israelites, they started looking down, and they became proud of it. Like, I'm circumcised. I'm circumcised. That's how they would say it. And they would all be strutting around like a circumcised peacock. That's a nice little pun. Play on words. Peacocks. I like that. Peacocks, yeah. Anyway, for we are the circumcision who are offering divine service in the Spirit. See, this is in the Spirit. Doesn't mean they're offering divine service. They're not building a tabernacle, the body of Christ. They're not becoming Jews. They're not cutting their reproductive organs off. We're offering divine service in spirit, in the Spirit of God, and are glorying in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in flesh. There it is. So the opposite of having no confidence in flesh is being a cur, a dog person, an evil worker, and the maimcision. That is all related to confidence in flesh. And this applies to Christianity today, to people in the Christian religion who are constantly exercising their flesh in order to please God. So Paul now goes on a riff about confidence in flesh. And the revelation's coming up here, folks. This is all just warm-up, okay? Am even I having confidence in flesh also? You want to talk about confidence in flesh? Paul says, if any other person is presuming to have confidence in flesh, if you think you know what it is to have confidence in flesh, sit down and shut up, because I was the presidente of confidence in flesh. In circumcision, you want to talk about circumcision? The eighth day. In other words, right on time. The eighth day. Of the race of Israel. You know those people that brought you the word of God? Yeah, that race? Yeah, well, I am of that race. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, yeah, the Benjamites could, isn't it the Benjamites? They could shoot a slingshot or something at 500 cubits and hit the nut from get the nut off of the mouth of a squirrel or from between its legs. Yeah. A Benjamite, but here's the important thing, Hebrew of Hebrews, kind of like the eons of the eons, or the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. As great as the Hebrews are, Paul said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme. In relation to law, get this, people, a Pharisee. Those are the biggest law guys you can ever aspire to be. Went to school a lot. Went to school at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a big-time teacher. Famous guy. Yeah, I learned from that guy. In relation to zeal, in other words, Paul's saying, do you think I just sat around and studied this stuff? No, I put my study, my beliefs into action. I persecuted the ecclesia. Ah, congratulations. Persecuted believers in Jesus Christ. Well, but he was good at it. That's his point. And here you go, in relation to the righteousness which is in law. Here it is. In relation, this is the revelation. In relation to the righteousness which is in law, becoming blameless. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you what the goal of every Christian is. What do they want to do? What do they want to become? They want to become blameless. They are on sanctification programs. I think that's the word I was looking for earlier. Sanctification programs. Holiness enterprises. Whatever they call those things. They're trying to become blameless. And what is their standard? Well, just look at the thing that's hanging on the walls of all their churches, the Ten Commandments. Their standard is the law of Moses. So they are, to talk about anachronistic, they are talking about a past glory, trying to go back and resurrect some past thing. They are trying to do what Paul considered garbage 2,000 years ago. Because let me finish this. In relation to the righteousness which is in law, becoming blameless. But, now I'm in verse 7 of Philippians 3, but things which were gained to me, i.e. Pharisee of the Pharisees, Benjamite, Hebrew of Hebrews, in relation to the righteousness which is in law, becoming blameless, those things I have deemed a forfeit. That is, a loss. None of that stuff counts. It was all for naught. And you think that's bad? Listen to this. Things which were gained to me, I deemed a forfeit because of Christ, but to be sure, I am also deeming it all to be a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ. All of it is a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. The knowledge of Christ Jesus, not trying to behave yourself, but the knowledge of Christ Jesus, not trying to become righteous by a standard, even a godly standard, but Christ Jesus, the faith of Christ Jesus, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, because of whom I forfeited all and am deeming it to be refuse, garbage, refuse that I should be gaining Christ. What is he calling refuse? What is he calling garbage? This is what the man is calling garbage. Circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in relation to law of Pharisee, in relation to zeal persecuting the ecclesia, in relation to the righteousness which is in law, becoming blameless. He considers that to be garbage. When I was trying to become blameless according to law, Paul says, I look back on that time and I consider it a waste. It was stupid. It was empty. It's a loss. And it's garbage. Somebody must have taken this page from the Christian Bibles because they are on this path of becoming, trying to become blameless, comparing themselves to other people, comparing their moral attainments, comparing their sinning or not sinning to the accomplishments of other sinning or not sinning people who are in the same stupid race that they are. The same losing enterprise. The same pile of garbage. Remember how Paul introduced this. Those who are still recommending this course are dogs. Doggy people. They're evil workers. Those who set the law of Moses today before you and challenge you or shame you, challenge you to do them or shame you for not doing them, they are evil workers. They're evil workers who are trying to become blameless in relation to the law because Paul was doing that very thing. And according to him, and I believe this to be true, I don't think any human being on earth besides the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you can't even say, the Lord Jesus Christ perfected the law, but of any human being trying to become blameless and according to law, I don't think anybody came closer to that mark. Even he admits he didn't hit the mark because he says becoming blameless. He probably thought to himself, I have enough time. I'm going to do this. Just give me enough time. Give me the opportunity. I'm going to become blameless. And well, you're going to become Jesus. You're going to become Moses. You're going to become God. What are you going to become, Saul? And he's embarrassed about it now. He's embarrassed to even talk about it. He's embarrassed that he tried to become righteous in accord with law. He's embarrassed that he even thought that I'm becoming blameless. Ooh, wait till the day I become blameless. Ooh, that's going to be a big day. It is. What do you do when you get to the top, Paul? Saul, what do you do when you get to the top? What do you do if you actually become blameless? You can't move after that because now you've attained the pinnacle of what you've been reaching toward, becoming blameless. and you've reached that mountaintop, I'd be tempted just to not move. You know, when something great happens to you, some very happy event, you just want to freeze the moment. It's like, I just want to keep this moment forever. You just want to hold it, not move, and just like, oh, okay, stay right here. Because you know the next second is going to change. It's going to start to crumble. Everything does. It's going to be like taking an ice cube out of the refrigerator, putting it out in the sun. You know, just if you want to celebrate it being an ice cube, you better do it quick. You just want to hold it there. No, it just starts to melt, starts to go away. What a blessing to be off that track completely, to be off that path. And Paul, the opposite of being on that track for him is the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord, just the knowledge. And this is about knowledge. This is an info war, people, an info war between knowledge and stupidity. The knowledge that trying to become blameless in accordance with the law, which is perfect, by the way, not dissing the law. Paul doesn't diss it in Romans chapter 7. The law is perfect. But humans cannot become perfect by means of the law. They can only fail and fail miserably because the law is a dispensation of condemnation and death. And today and every day, Christians are lining up for the dispensation of condemnation and death. It's like the law is like a lemonade stand. And it says the law of Moses on the top, hammered in there on wood. And it's like, what are your two flavors today? What are you offering? Well, we have one flavor called condemnation and another flavor called death. Christians say, I'll take one of each. Sounds good. Put it on ice. Dispensing, the law of Moses dispenses condemnation and death. And they want more of it. Talk about missing a memo. I mean, they're not even in the, they're not only not in the ballpark, they're not even in the parking lot or in the neighborhood of the stadium here. Oh, God. So primitive and foolish and ignorant, because the remedy is knowledge. And the knowledge that we need, or that anyone needs, to escape the rat race, the gerbil wheel of trying to become blameless in accordance with law, with God's standards, the remedy is found in Paul's gospel, that we have been declared righteous by God. What are you going to do to improve upon that? You're already declared to be righteous because of Jesus Christ's faith. Romans 3, 21, 22, a righteousness of God is manifest based on Jesus Christ's faith for all and on all who are believing. It's like these Christians are all scrambling to try to get to a place. In the end, they hope to get to this place. In the end, I'm going to climb. I'm going to get to this place. They're trying to get to a place at the end of their quest that we start at the beginning of ours. We start perfect. And since our perfection is not based on our efforts or behavior, we can't lose it. It doesn't melt like an ice cube. If you live by the flesh, you die by the flesh. If you attain blamelessness in the flesh, then give it 2 seconds and your flesh is going to knock you back down. But this isn't based on flesh. Our righteousness is based on the faith of Jesus Christ. So it's impenetrable. It's unconquerable. Nobody, we can't even screw it up, no matter how hard we try. So we start. Our walk starts with perfection in God's eyes, according to him. Our walk starts where they're hoping to gain. So they're working all the, I want to say this 10 different ways because it's such a great revelation. They're, the religionists, the Christians, are working all their lives to get to a place where we start. And you're saying, well, Martin, if we start at the top, then what do we have to do from that point on? I mean, you know what? You know what you have to do? Be thankful. There's no more attainments that can be had. Once you're declared righteous, you have the perfection of God upon you, the mantle of perfection upon your shoulders. What else is there to do? Just be thankful. That's it. Just a state of thanksgiving. And then any work we do to forward the evangel or the kingdom of God is a reaction to this truth. Our work is a reaction to the amazing revelation that we've been declared righteous by God. So our work is the caboose on the engine of being declared righteousness, being declared righteous by the faith of Jesus Christ. They make it the engine. They make works the engine. You got to chug, 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 you know, like, what's that train that tries to get up the hill? I don't know. What's that guy's name? I think I can. Oh, they're chugging up the hill. To what result? Failure, frustration, guilt, and condemnation. Well, what do you know? That's what the law produces. And it also produces death. So pretty soon these people are going to die of misery and frustration. And misery loves company, so they want you to be on that same terrible ride. But we're not. We're delivered from it. And so everything we do is an outflowing of this thanksgiving that we have for being declared righteous by God. We're not dogs. We're not the maimed scion. We're not evil workers. An evil worker is someone who will promote a course of self-confidence in order to become pleasing to God. The opposite of an evil worker is someone who points to the cross of Christ and says, there's my righteousness. I put everything I have, I credit everything I have and everything I do to him. And the blessed fallout from that apprehension is joy and peace and rest at the feet of Christ.